Okay, does Emily know the answer to question number one? You do. The first 11 chapters of Genesis can be categorized as four major events, which were creation, the fall, the flood, and the Tower of Babel. And we're just about ready to conclude this section this evening, so you should be familiar with those four events. Okay, list some phenomena that existed after the flood that were different or did not even exist before the flood. Yes, Jonathan.
The rainbow.
Men being able to eat meat. Civil government. I didn't think of that one. Very good. Civil government. Anybody else have anything? Clouds and rain. I didn't have that one either. I had geological formations, and going along with clouds and rains, maybe the seasons began after the flood. And going along with the diet of men, the fear of man upon animals. Not that man feared animals, but that animals feared man. And the length of life greatly changed from being around 900 to 1,000 years all the way down to 175 by the time Abraham died. And possibly even drunkenness, because it is theorized that the time taken to ferment grapes before the flood was significantly longer than after the flood, so it would have been very difficult to get drunk. I don't know if that is true. I'd put a question mark by that one as well. Okay, number three. List some conditions, stipulations, and obligations that were enacted after the flood. Kill and be killed. So capital punishment was enacted after the flood. What else? We could add to that, going hand in hand with capital punishment, would be civil government, which I didn't list. There were legal foods now that weren't legal before, such as meat. And this goes along with the clouds, which could have been in the previous answer as well. Atmospheric conditions were different. The atmospheric pressure probably changed greatly. The vapor canopy or whatever kind of canopy that was around the earth was no longer there. And another stipulation and condition and obligation that was enacted after the flood under the Noahic covenant was that God would not flood the earth universally ever again. Number four. Compare and contrast God's attitude and understanding of mankind before and after the flood. And after the flood?
Not sure. It doesn't say that it
does. No, it does. I'm almost sure it says that God saw that man's heart was only evil continually, but that he would never flood the world again. But, since there is a disagreement, well, let's look it up. Genesis chapter 10. Actually, Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the aroma. And the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the earth on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. So God's evaluation of man's heart before the flood and after the flood was identical. that man's heart is only evil continually. What else can we say might be different, or if you look at it from a different perspective, might be the same before and after the flood of God's consideration and understanding of mankind? Taking the life of man was very serious. God still saw man created in his image. And even though God destroyed all mankind for the sins of his heart, God still had a universal respect for mankind and demanded that of other men, or capital punishment would be enacted. So I have respect for human life because man is created in the image, in God's image, while at the same time recognizing the thoughts and the intentions of man's heart is only evil continually. So here's another one of those tensions in the Bible that God says you're evil and deserving of death, but man is not supposed to put you to death. And if he does, then that man is supposed to be executed by the government. So even though God finds the thoughts and intention of man's heart to be only evil continually, there is still supposed to be a respect for human life because man is created in the image of God. Okay, so now we go to our brain burner. Anybody need more time for the brain burner? Emily, was your brain burned? Mm-hmm, good. Always like to burn Emily's brain. Get to do that a couple times a month, so used to do it regularly. So that's always a joy. Okay, so Emily, why is learning a foreign language supposed to be difficult? Very good. The purpose, the very purpose of what happened at the Tower of Babel, what God did at the Tower of Babel, was specifically to make it very difficult to learn a foreign language. Perhaps at that time it was actually impossible to learn a foreign language. So brain burner number one. God confused the languages so that man would separate all over the earth as he commanded and be unable to cooperate well. So now we have specialists who can learn foreign languages well that communicate from one nation to another. But even then, there are differences in the languages that make that very difficult to communicate the thoughts in one language to the thoughts in another language. So the very purpose of the Tower of Babel was to make learning a foreign language difficult. Number two, what cities and nations did Nimrod found? That may have been on your homework, or you could have looked it up in Genesis 11 or 10. 10 or 11, I forget which chapter. 10. Nineveh and what?
Assyria.
Okay, Nineveh and Assyria. One is the city and one is the nation. So those would go hand in hand. That's one answer. So one answer is Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. And the other one is Babel, the capital of Babylon. Babel and Nineveh were the cities that Nimrod founded. They would eventually become the capitals of Babylon and Assyria. The reason why they are important is because these would become the very enemies of God's people, Israel. And not only that, but when you read in the book of Revelation, who is the great whore in the book of Revelation? Babylon. Babylon has still a future history. And it began at the Tower of Babylon, where Nimrod founded this city. So the religion of man's self-efforts began at the Tower of Babel, will continue throughout all of history, and end with the judgment of Babylon the Great, where we will then hear the Hallelujah chorus that the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Of course, that's not just the Hallelujah chorus, that's the scriptures. Number three, from which son of Noah did the Canaanites descend? Ham. And why would this information be of particular interest to the Israelites? Ham was cursed. Actually, Ham was not cursed. Who was cursed? Canaan. His son was cursed. Why would this be of particular interest to the Israelites? Canaan is their enemy. Not only is Canaan their enemy, that's the promised land. So they have reason and purpose and God-ordained permission to take this land because of the curse on Ham's son, Canaan. So Ham is the son from which Canaan descended. And eventually it's going to come about that Israel was to take the land of the Canaanites. Now, does anybody know when Genesis was written? By Moses. So it was probably written around when? What event? The Exodus. So what's Israel about ready to do? Take the promised land. They need a little bit of background as to why this is a legitimate undertaking. And the legitimate undertaking is that Canaan has been cursed by God, and we understood that from last time we met. And now Israel is supposed to take this land. Number four, from which son of Noah did Abraham descend? Shem. And why would this information be of particular interest to the Israelites? The promises and the blessings of God are through Abraham. Anybody know what word we get to refer to Israel here? They are what kind of people? What adjective do we get here? Semitic. The reason why they are called a Semitic people is because they descended from Shem.
Does that mean that all the Arab nations are Semitic as well?
It might. I think that's true. Okay, now we go to our lesson. You want to open your Bibles now to Genesis chapter 10. And hopefully we can cover Genesis chapter 10 and 11 tonight. Okay, Genesis chapter 10 talks about three sons of what individual? Noah. Now, we are all descendants of Adam, but we need to also understand we're all descendants of Noah in some way. So the three sons of Noah are very important. Genesis 10 is about the three sons of Noah. We're going to look at where they occupied the earth and what descendants they were famous or infamous for. So the first son of Noah was, in this chapter, Japheth. And Japheth, if you read where he settled, he basically went to the north of where the cradle of civilization is in Babel. If you think of Babel, where Babylon is, Japheth went to the north. He is associated with the coastlands, the Mediterranean Sea, the Caspian Sea. So he would, his location would include Turkey, southern Europe, where we have Greece and Italy, and Russia, where we have the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. Now, that's just a general idea. So if you think of the Middle East as our central starting point, if we go north of that to Turkey and southern Europe and southern Asia, where I think it's the Balkans are and where Russia is, that's where Japheth settled. Now, who is one of his famous sons in chapter 10 that you may or may not be aware of? His first son was Gomer. Now, if we turn to Ezekiel chapter 38, Ezekiel is exceptionally apocalyptic in the latter portions of his book. If we turn to Ezekiel chapter 38, and verse 6. Well, if we turn back to verse 4 to get the context, I will turn you about and put hooks in your jaws, and I will bring you out, and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them splendidly attired, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them wielding swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Put with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer with all its troops, Beth Togarmah from the remote parts of the north with all its troops, many peoples with you. So when you see the word Gomer in prophetic literature, particularly in the book of Ezekiel, it's talking about a son of Japheth that is coming from the north. Many people have interpreted this and the next one as Russia, that Russia still has purpose in God's eschatological purposes to bring judgment upon Israel from the north. Okay, another one that is probably more familiar, I've heard it more often than Gomer, in verse 2 is Magog. Now, if we turn to Revelation chapter 20, and we know Revelation is about the end times. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "And when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore." Again, what many people think is a reference to where Russia now exists from the north. And then two other cities that are in that passage, if we turn to Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 1, it says, "And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal." So the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and we see Meshech and Tubal as sons of Japheth, is Gog. Again, a reference that many people think is to Russia. So Magog is possibly Russia, and Tubal and Meshech are also in Ezekiel's prophecy of kingdoms from the north invading Israel and Jerusalem. So Japheth was the son that settled to the north of the cradle of civilization. The second son in chapter 10 is Ham. Where did Ham settle? Ham settled to the Middle East and to the west of the Middle East. So if you think of Israel, Egypt, perhaps part of the Sinai Peninsula, and to the west, that's where Ham settled. Now, we understand that's where Ham settled because Ham is his son was Canaan, and Canaan is Israel. So Ham settled in the portion of the world we know of as Israel, and then to the west of that, which would include Egypt and parts of Africa. So his first son that wasn't cursed, his name was, first son listed there is Cush. Anybody know where Cush is? Cush is Ethiopia, which is just a little bit south of Egypt. Again, to the west of Israel. And one of Cush's descendants, that's what the dash is for, who was one of Cush's descendants? Cush became the father of Nimrod. And Nimrod is important, as we've already seen, because he settled the cities of Babel and Nineveh, which are great centers of worldwide government. One world government in Babel and Nineveh. Who's the second descendant of Ham listed there? Mizraim. Anybody know who Mizraim is? Egypt. Again, to the west of the promised land. And the third son of Ham that we're skipping, going to the fourth son, is Canaan, which is the promised land. So if we look at where Ham settled, he settled in the promised land and to the west, Egypt and Ethiopia toward Africa. Okay, so that leaves one more son. Who's that? Shem. Leaves one more place where he could have settled. Where's that? We got the north covered and we got the west covered. He settled to the east. The Middle East to the east. Where we have Babylon. Shem settled in Babylon. Who's the most famous Shemite? Who? Louder? Abraham. And where did Abraham come from? Ur of the Chaldees, and the Chaldeans are the same as the Babylonians. So Abraham came from Babylon in that area, from the Chaldeans. These individuals settled from the Middle East to the east, where we have today Iraq and Iran, the cradle of civilization, the Tigris and the Euphrates. So are Iraq and Iran in the place where the chosen son of Noah lived? Yes, what does that mean? I have no idea. Okay, one of his sons was Eber. We see that down in verse 21, and that's where we get the expression the Hebrews, At least some people say that. Another famous son of Shem eventually is the most famous son, Abraham. And in many portions of the Bible, here in Genesis, in 1 Chronicles, in Luke, we can see the genealogy from Noah through Shem, through Abraham, to the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. So this is the line that God will use to bring about the blessings of God to the earth. Okay, number two, Roman numeral two. What else? Actually, we go to a different chapter. We go to chapter 11 for Roman numeral two, and we have the what? Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. Now, where is this located? Where does this story take place in Genesis 11? Babel would be a good answer. Babylon would be a good answer, but it gives a particular place. Shinar. So when you see the word Shinar in the Bible, we're talking about Babylon or Babel again. So this was a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. Now, what had God told them to do in Genesis, do I have it written? 9, verse 1. What did God tell Noah and his three sons to do, Emily? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So what does that mean they should not have done? What? Stayed in one place. So they come to Shinar and they decide to do what? Stay in one place. They weren't supposed to do that. So we have the building. Or first of all, the place is Babel, which was settled by Nimrod, which is also called Shinar in chapter 11. So the building, what was the purpose of the building? It was for what? What does it say? The Bible should be open to Genesis 11. What was the purpose? It was for what? Okay, that's number two. Good observation. But we'll hold that one for number two. What's number one? It's for what? Nathan, did you have it? Okay, they are building a city. It isn't a city, but it's for what? It's for ourselves. It's for a name for ourselves. It is not for what? It's not for the Lord. It's for ourselves. So this is the beginning of man-made, self-centered worship. Yes, Sarah. In chapter 11? Okay, that's an interesting point. And when I was reading a commentary on this, chapter 11 probably comes before chapter 10. Chapter 11 is an explanation as to why chapter 10 took place. So it's not that they scattered all over the earth and then came to Babel. The reason why they scattered all over the earth, and Japheth is to the north, and Ham is to the west, and Shem is to the east, is because of what happened in chapter 11. So it's not chronological in that sense. Good question, and I should have pointed that out. Okay, so the building is for ourselves. It is to reach to heaven. So some people say it was designed to be an escape from what? What had just happened? What? Some people say its purpose was to escape from another flood, that they were going to build a city for themselves that not even God could destroy. That sounds like what? Recently in the 1900s or 1800s? Early 1900s, I believe. Sounds like the boat, the Titanic. Not even God can sink this ship. And on its maiden voyage, it sunk. Yeah. And so these people probably said, not even God can flood this tower. Or it may have been, and more properly, it was probably somewhat religious in nature. It was designed for people to worship themselves, to make a name for themselves, so that they could have a religion that left God out of it. The beginning and center of man-made religion. Babel, Shinar, Babylon, the Tower of Babel. Its purpose is so that they would not be what? What did they not want to be? Hello?
Scattered.
They didn't want to be scattered. They wanted to make a name for themselves and be united. The strength of mankind is in his unity. And the more united he can be, the more strength he has. Sort of makes you think about organizations like the United Nations and what and who's behind that, really. Nimrod. But in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, we already saw that God's intention was that they be dispersed. They were in rank rebellion against God, and God would have none of it. So God came down. Verse 7. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their languages. So what was the problem that God saw when these people are building this tower and not scattering abroad? What was the problem that God saw was going to happen? What does it say in Genesis 11? You guys are looking all over the room and you're supposed to be reading your Bibles. They weren't going to be scattered, but what was also the problem? They would have the same language. Nothing would be impossible for them. Their one world, man-made, self-righteous government would work. Nothing would be impossible for them. The problem is that nothing would be impossible for man. He would establish his one world government, his universal language, his self-made religion, and everything would work just fine. Is there a time when that's going to happen? Yeah. There'll be one world ruler. There'll probably be one language, one currency. It'll be a religion of mankind, made by man for man. And it's going to bring about what on the earth? Peace. Everything that man wanted. One commentator said something like, wars and... He may have said something like different languages. Wars and different languages are better than unity in the lives of mankind. Because when man is unified, the only one he'll worship is himself. So what was the solution to the problem? confuse their languages. And that, Emily, is why it is difficult to learn a foreign language. Its very purpose is to keep man from worshiping himself. And the result, what happened? They scattered. They did exactly what God had intended in the first place. But now, it's part of his judgment rather than his blessing. How much would it have been profitable for mankind to be of one language in order to spread the gospel? That may have been profitable, but that ain't going to happen. And now even the efforts to propagate the gospel are difficult because of what happened at Babel. Okay, that's all I have for this evening. I know, but that goes better with chapter 12. I didn't have enough room on that, so I just stopped and made it part of your homework assignment. If you want to fill in, see, we're going to look at the descendants of Shem. Eventually, it's Abraham, and those three people there had a relationship with Abraham that we'll talk about, but there were more than that, and I couldn't fit it on one sheet of paper, so I decided to do it later. So we will meet next week, which is Sunday, October the 18th, and you finally have a new assignment, which starts at the end of chapter 11 and goes through chapter 12. Now, we have about 15 minutes, but if you need to leave, you're free to leave. But we can have a time of question and answer. Y'all can just visit. Does anybody have any questions?